ان الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه. بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, to continue with what I spoke about yesterday, the issue of moving from the position of the world is responsible for me to I am responsible for the world, which is the position of the Muslim, which is the position of the Muslim concerning all humanity, concerning the Muslims themselves, concerning his or her neighbors, a sense of responsibility for others, and a sense of responsibility and a sense of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that respect. This is what we are supposed to be, and this is what we have been taught by our religion, to always and always do good for everybody, and not just do it out of the as an anecdotal thing or as a matter of choice or discretion, but do it as a matter and do it because it is our duty. This is why we have been sent into the world specifically, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable for that. I hope you read the article which came with yesterday's reminder, called Empathy Vacuum in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley has an empathy vacuum, and it's talking about the development and uses of various technologies, even where the technology seems now to have become counterproductive, in that it does provide convenience for some people, but at the expense of the lives of many, many others. It's perhaps not fair to blame Silicon Valley for that, because technology is value neutral. It's what you do with it which counts. And here we are talking about the using of that technology, exploitation of this technology for commercial uses. And yesterday I gave you the example of truck drivers, and we spoke about the issue of empathy for them and their families, and to say, what will people like that do who do not have a tertiary education, but who are doing a very complex job, technically very complex, and a job which is a great service to people. Now, if technology replaces them, and you say that you're going to have these trucks which will not cause any accidents, that doesn't mean accidents won't happen, because it's not always the truck driver who's causing the accident, and everything else is being driven by people. And of course, then the immediate answer will be to say that everything will be driven by itself. You will have self-driven cars, self-driven trucks, and so on and so forth. So there will be no drivers. But despite that, there's any number of new glitches and new things that can happen, which we obviously can't foresee. So, leaving all that aside, the point being that we were talking yesterday about the issue of empathy that we need to have for one another. Let me develop that further and give you also for those of you who find it difficult to be empathetic, give you a commercial argument, because I think commercial arguments seem to sell more than anything else. Take it from the context of one of the things that will happen, and believe me, the people who are using this technology, commercially exploiting it, are not doing it because it will cause fewer accidents. If saving human life was actually a priority, then the first thing that would stop is the manufacture of weapons, and the first thing that would stop is all the unnecessary wars, and there is no such thing as a necessary war. Every war is unnecessary. All of these would stop, because there are far more people being killed, innocent people, with weapons of mass destruction, which governments are producing, and they are selling, and their economies depend on it. So, I mean, if somebody is telling me that the reason for developing self-driving trucks is to avoid accidents and save human life, I'll tell them, I mean, give me a break. I mean, I wasn't born yesterday, stop trying to fool people. So forget that. The single reason for doing that is because it is commercially viable. It is cheaper. You don't have to worry about a driver, you don't have to pay, you save the driver's salary, and so on and so forth. So there is a commercial reason. But let me therefore give you a commercial angle to empathy. Why would you do all this? Why would you want to reduce your costs on transportation of goods and services so that you could make a higher margin for selling those goods and services when you do sell them? So let's take Walmart as an example. So now Walmart, for example, supposing we say that Walmart now has only self-driven trucks, it has self-sailing container ships that bring the goods from China, from Bangladesh or wherever to America to sell in Walmart. So Walmart's margins are going up. You also might say, well, Walmart will then move to self-purchasing stores. So you're going to have almost nobody, no checkout counters, nothing in the stores. You go there, swipe a card, pick up what you want, swipe a card and walk out of the place, and there will be enough cameras and so on to catch the thieves. So the point I'm making is that you are going to eliminate more and more and more people from the equation. However, those people are there. You eliminated them from your business model, but you didn't eliminate them from the face of the planet. So those people are still there. Their families are still there. The children still have to go to school. They still have to buy food and so on and so forth. Now, where is the money for that going to come from? So what is eventually going to happen is that all of these wonderful technology things which are commercially exploited, they will make shareholders, not stakeholders, they will make shareholders richer and richer and richer, and they will make stakeholders poorer and poorer and poorer. So therefore what will happen is that already we have a huge divide in our societies between the haves and the have-nots. That divide will increase further. But tell me, which is a stronger economy? An economy where the divide is not there, or where it is very small, a huge middle class with massive purchasing power, or an economy which has a very few multi-billionaires and trillionaires and the rest of the people are scrounging for food? Which is a stronger economy? Right, this is you don't need brain surgery to get there. The simple thing to understand is that when you keep on eliminating people, at the end of the game is that if you eliminate all these people, then the buyers will finish, and if there are no buyers, then there will be no reason to manufacture. So your container ships will not be able to get stuff from China and Bangladesh or wherever you're buying them, because there is no reason to manufacture that much of stuff, because you can't sell it because there's no one to buy it. And if there's no one to buy it, then the manufacturing stops. And this ripple goes across the world, affecting economy after economy negatively. Now that's the commercial angle of this, if you don't want to do this for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So seriously, let us ask ourselves, what is the issue? The issue, therefore, a friend of mine said to me, is it therefore we should opt for less technology? I said, we should not opt for less technology. We should opt for more compassion. We should opt for more humanity. We should opt for more sense of companionship and sense of community. That's what we need to opt for. To give you tell you a true story which illustrates this beautifully. This story was told to me by my OB, organization behavior professor at the Indian Institute of Management, IIM Ahmedabad, Professor Pulin Garg. Now Pulin said that Ford Foundation had a project, an agriculture improvement project in UP, in Uttar Pradesh. And for this project, they had adopted a village. And in this village, they introduced a metal plowshare, which is very simple technology. The part of the plow that goes into the earth, which digs the earth. In India, traditionally, it is made of wood. And the villagers, they There's usually a village carpenter who does this work. So it's made of wood. So the Ford Foundation people came and they changed that to a metal plowshare. So at the end of that, they put a metal plowshare made of cast iron. And they showed and they proved, they took some fields for experimentation, and they proved to the villagers that this metal plowshare was a far better deal because it dug deeper, the soil was more friable, it broke up the soil much better, so the seeds germination was much more productive and the crops were higher. So they said, here's a technology, it works very well, and you know, it's not great high tech, it's just a metal plowshare, but it serves the purpose and it gives them better crops. So they ran this experiment for 2 years. They proved to the villagers that using a metal plowshare actually increases their yield. And on top of that, when they left, they gave them a whole lot of metal plowshares as a gift. Now, 2 years after that, the project came up for re-evaluation. So the Ford Foundation team came to this village to see and check what was happening. And to their complete astonishment and horror, they found that the metal plowshares which they had given to the villagers were lying in some corner in one hut, just rusting, and they had never been used. So these Americans who came there, I mean, they tried to talk to the village elders and ask them, you know, what's wrong, why are you not using this? And they said, are you not convinced? They said, no, of course we are convinced, you proved to us. So they said, what's wrong, why are you not using it? And you know, our usual way of, we never give a straight answer. So they said, no, you know, we are so grateful to you. You came from so far away and from your comfortable homes and you came to our place. And so they said, no, hold on, we're not talking about all that. Just tell us, why are you not using this thing? But no answer. So they met Pulin somewhere, and Pulin Garg offered to talk to the village on their behalf to find out what's happened. So Pulin said, I went there, I stayed in the village with the mukhya, with the village the village head, and then he said, we sat one evening and I asked them, I said, what's the matter? He said, very simple. They said, Pulin said, I asked them, are you not convinced? They said, yes, we are convinced. Then why are you not using the plowshare? They said, what then will happen to the family of carpenters that lives in our village? If we use this metal plowshare, they will have no work. Then where will they go? What will happen to them? So now this whole village opts to continue to use older technology, wooden plowshares. They opt to actually incur a loss, a potential loss for themselves, by accepting a lower yield only to help a family of carpenters who also live in that village. Now, this is what I mean by a sense of community, a sense of mutual responsibility, the willingness to put your money where your mouth is and to take ownership, not just for your life, but for the lives of people who are around us. This is what is Islam teaches us. This is what humanity teaches us. This is and should be the meaning of being human. Do you hurt for somebody? Do you feel somebody's pain? Are you willing to do something about that? That do something is not necessarily physical. Do something can be and should be dua in any case. But in addition to that, what else can I do? What else can we do? Can we talk about that? Can we promote this great idea? Can we donate money for this? Can we work for it? And I think that is what we should think about. And this is what we need to teach our children. A sense of community, a sense of mutual responsibility, a sense of mutual ownership. Understanding very clearly that we are answerable to Allah for that. And also that we are actually linked. All of us are linked together, whether we like it or not. The person sitting in a multi-million dollar penthouse suite in New York, in Manhattan, in Mayfair, is linked to a village in Bangladesh, and the villager who's sitting in his hut in Bangladesh, or in India, or in Pakistan, or in Sudan, or in Somalia. Everybody is linked in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a linked environment, and we are all linked. Whether we like it or not, that is the reality. So therefore, we cannot live in this world. The old saying, no man is an island, which applies also to women, is absolutely true. We are not islands. We are not living in this world on our own. What we do affects us and affects everybody else. And that's why my interpretation of the El Nino effect of, you know, a butterfly beats its wings in the Amazonian rainforest and there is a cyclone in Japan. This is my understanding of that, the El Nino effect in the human framework, to say that this is what we are. We are linked, and therefore let us live understanding that we are linked and ensure that what we spread around us is always positive and good, and this is what Islam is. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.